to take up. It's never too late to take it up. Read a little bit of Scripture every day. Every single day, read a little bit of Scripture. Because most of us take a little bit of time every day to listen to the news or to watch a little bit of TV. And what is the... is it something that's elevating your mind to the possibility of your human existence? You know, usually it's not. Usually it's kind of dumbing down or diminishing your heart. But Scripture is like something that lifts up the heart. And we are so blessed with having so many amazing translations of so much Scripture in our language. So just pick up some, you know, I have a stack that I just keep next to the bed. And I just, you know, pick up a little bit and read. Or I often like to read the biographies of great saints. I just finished Corrie Ten Boom. Does anybody know her?
Yeah.
Just what a saint, right? What a beautiful woman. She, her family housed Holocaust victims, housed Jews during the Holocaust. And they didn't just house Jews, they housed the Jews that nobody else would house, which are who? The ones with whooping coughs, right? The ones with newborn babies, like the ones that could make sound when they're hidden in the walls. So naturally, you know, somebody coughed and everybody was caught and the whole family went to concentration camps. And she lived through it and had this extraordinary life. But, you know, you wake up in the morning and you read a little bit of this and it awakens you to the potential of your day. And our days are slipping away. We don't have many of them. It seems, and as we get older, we know this more and more, and then we don't want to look at it as much. Most people, if you're here tonight, you have some courage around that. But so elevate the mind a little bit with a little bit of Scripture. And one day I came upon this. I was slowly going through the Cloud of Unknowing, right, which is an anonymous, 14th century? Does anybody know? I think it's anonymous 14th century, written by a Cartusian monk. And and I was fascinated to read this, because it could be Buddhist scripture. And he says this, "Every man has plenty of cause for sorrow, but he alone understands the deep universal reason for sorrow who experiences that he is." Right? In Italian, he is. Just to experience that you are is a deep cause for suffering. It's weird, right? It's slightly odd. And when I read this, I sensed the narrow gate. So this is somehow the narrow gate that Jesus talks about. He says, every other motive pales besides this one. He alone feels authentic sorrow who realizes not only what he is, but that he is. It's almost a little zen. You're like, what is he talking about? That he is, or, you know. Every other motive pales. He alone feels authentic sorrow, who realizes not only what he is, what are we? You know, what are we? We're beings that are going to die. We're beings that are going to lose everything, right? What is it that we would realize in that moment that would create sorrow? He says, who realizes not only what he is, but that he is. And then this is fascinating. Listen close to this. He says, anyone who has not felt this should really weep. Anyone who has not felt deep, deep sorrow should really weep. For he has never experienced real sorrow. Why should we weep if we've never experienced real sorrow? What do you think?
What?
Yeah, so he says just without being able to experience deep sorrow, you can't experience deep joy. Why else? What other reason might we want to experience deep sorrow? Yeah, that you're really alive. When you feel deep sorrow, you can feel you're really alive. Yeah, that's fascinating. That gets into a whole other discussion that I'm going to let go of right now. But there's some. I just want to touch on something interesting there. I used to work with suicidal teens, and oftentimes they'd cut themselves, and I'd ask them why they would cut themselves, and say, so I could feel alive. So what you're saying reminded me of that a little bit, but that's a whole different discussion. Let's see what he says. He says, this sorrow purifies a man of sin and sin's punishment. Even more, it prepares his heart to receive that joy through which he will finally transcend the knowing and feeling of his being. If I was to translate this into Buddhist jargon, I would say something like this. This sorrow purifies us of our negative actions and the karmic results of those actions. And even more, it prepares our hearts for the deeper states of awakening. There's a similarity in those two. And then he says this. He says, when this joy is authentic, it is full of reverent longing for God's salvation. For otherwise, no human could sustain it. And here's the difference for people with faith and people without faith. If you have no faith, then why would you want to experience suffering? Why would you want to look at suffering directly in the face? And when I say faith, I'm trying to hold a kind of faith that is open-ended, right? Because if I don't believe that there is a beauty underlying the suffering, then to look at the suffering, the obvious solution would be suicide. I mean, if all life is suffering, and everything is permeated with a kind of suffering, and there is no beauty that underlies it all, then it's a kind of, it's an existential dilemma, right? It's what Descartes brought us into a little bit. Like, you know, why are we here? And then he says, everyone must sooner or later, oh, hold on one sec, and then, right, so when the sorrow is authentic, it is full of reverent longing for God's salvation. And the key word there is longing. And you see this over and over and over in Scripture. Desire, longing, the infusion of longing into the spiritual life. And Simon Tugwell, right? Does anybody know that name? Simon Tugwell. He's a monk and I'm forgetting which Christian monastic order he's a part of. But he says that God becomes the ultimate seducer. Like God is like a flirtatious bride eventually and seduces us into the path. So it's the longing, the sorrow brings us a kind of longing. And yet in all this, never does he desire to not be. And that's the other side of Hamlet, to be or not to be, you know? And Hamlet's stuck because he's like, well, he's like, should I kill myself or should I not? And then he says, oh, but what if I dream? You know, what if there is no end? Or, you know, it's just like, what's on the other side of this? And yet in all this, never does he desire to not be. That's my phone, excuse me. No, it should end now. It's 3 beats. And yet, in all this, never does he desire to not be. Never does he desire not to be a part of existence. For this is the devil's madness and blasphemy against God. In fact, he rejoices that he is, and from the fullness of a grateful heart, he gives thanks to God for the gift and goodness of his existence. However, he's just taking us back and forth. He's like, there's hope, it's beautiful, it's suffering. However, he desires unceasingly to be freed from the knowing and feeling of his being. So we're put in this interesting position, which you see so clearly in Buddhism. All life is suffering. There's a beauty that we can attain, and it's almost like the realization of suffering is the fuel to move us closer to God. Because television is fascinating. Television is absolutely fascinating. The intricacies of all the politics and everything that's going on in the world is infinitely fascinating. Have you ever had the experience where you try to turn off the TV and you can't? and you just move to another channel and you get fascinated by some other meaningless thing, and you know, or you're surfing on the web and you're like, wow, I wonder what the capital of Georgia is, you know, and then you're like, you know, and then that leads you into something, you know, I wonder what countries, you know, are in the Mediterranean, or, you know, you just go, and then, you know, before you know it, it's 4 days spent on kind of meaningless things, right? It's like the world is fascinating, and it's some kind of awakening of deep sorrow that suddenly wakens us up out of that. I can remember a couple times where I had this. One was watching Schindler's List. Do you remember that movie? Heavy movie, right? And it was a awareness of deep suffering, but you leave feeling kind of refreshed.